Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where sales leaders teach you what's working for them and how you can build it yourself.
This episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast is brought to you by our sales coaching and consulting services. Are you looking to create repeatable, scalable, and predictable revenue? We've helped thousands of companies grow their business with tailored expert advice backed by testing to ensure they establish the best practices that'll work for them. Head over to bit.ly/predictable revenue coaching to learn more. Salespeople, if you've got your customer in front of you, then you have a great opportunity. And if you're not asking the questions and getting them to talk or being consultative, then you're wasting that opportunity. And sales leaders, if you're not training your salespeople on how to do this, then you're doing them a disservice. I'm your host, Sarah Hicks. And today on the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting with an expert about why taking a consultative approach to sales works best. Simeon Atkins is an industry consultant at SimilarWeb, specializing in e-commerce and marketing tech. He works closely with a variety of commercial operations to help them find, win, and retain more business by utilizing SimilarWeb's marketing intelligence data. Simeon Atkins, welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Thanks, Sarah. It's brilliant to be here.
Well, I'm really excited to dive into this. Just to give us some context here, Simeon, first of all, what does being consultative look like in practice?
So to me, being consultative has always really come down to having a fully customer-centric approach. And by that, I mean really kind of putting your customers' needs, challenges, aspirations at the heart of everything that you do. So, you know, when you're stepping into a meeting or having a call, whatever the situation might be, you know, you should be thinking about how you can add value to that business that you're speaking to rather than, you know, how much you can sell to them. Now, in reality, that's obviously easier said than done. You know, I've experienced so many salespeople and myself included, you know, when I was working in sales myself, of really kind of falling into the trap of trying to dominate the conversation with, you know, as much information about your own products and services as you can possibly remember from all your training. Now, I have a lot of, you know, empathy with salespeople around this. I don't really necessarily think it's their fault. I think if you think about it, in reality, the majority of onboarding at companies is spent learning about your own products, your own services, your own company, actually rather than learning about the markets that you're selling into, the kind of companies that you're selling to, the personas you're selling into. So there's this kind of knowledge gap, I suppose, between, you know, what you're selling versus who you're selling to. And obviously, as a salesperson, you always want to be the expert in the room. It's understandable, you know, you're meeting a new customer for the first time, you know, it's only natural that you want to feel comfortable with what you're speaking about and kind of seem knowledgeable about what you're speaking about. The problem is this is completely counterproductive. So really to truly be consultative, and by the way, when I say being consultative, really what I'm saying is being effective at selling, because I really think that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. You really need to try, if you can, to have the same level of knowledge about your customers and the markets that you're selling into as much as you do into your own products and services. Now, the key to this, especially in those kind of early conversations, is really to try and spend as much time as possible asking the right questions to really kind of understand fully what the needs, challenges, and aspirations of your clients are. So if you kind of want to put that into real terms, you know, try and think about maybe speaking, or I should say getting your clients to speak for 90% of the time. Which might seem very kind of counterintuitive to a lot of people, but that's really the only way you're going to gain, you know, really rich understanding about what your clients are doing and what the challenges they are. And really that's then and only then when you're going to be in a position where you can actually effectively position yourself as having the right solution for them. Really.
Just to kind of paint the picture of why people should really focus on this consultative approach, what happens when you're not being consultative? What's the damage that's done by not taking an approach like this?
Well, first and foremost, I think you're unable to sell effectively if you're not being consultative to some degree. I mean, if you think about it, how can you possibly know which one of your solutions, your products really best meet your client's needs if you haven't done the correct research or asked the right questions to really understand the clients? And just generally, it just makes the whole process a lot more difficult because, you know, if your clients don't understand what you're bringing to the table, what value you can add to their business, they're just not going to buy from you. It's as simple as that. And you also really risk losing credibility very early on in the conversation, which is extremely difficult to win back. You know, if your client gets the impression that you don't understand their business or you don't care about what they're trying to achieve and you're only really there to make a sale, you know, ultimately, why are they going to work with you? I think the next thing to consider on top of that, the next layer to that really is inevitably whoever you're speaking to is going to have to sell this further up the chain to other, you know, buyers in the process. You know, I think with B2B sales, it's what, 6 or 7 decision makers on average, you know, easily it could be a lot more in bigger companies. And so if the person that you're speaking to doesn't understand the value that you're bringing, you know, are they really going to spend the time and effort to try and sell it on internally to other stakeholders? And if they do, and they then can't convey that value to other stakeholders, it just makes it a lot less likely that ultimately you're going to win the sale. So, Sarah, back to your kind of original question there, I think, you know, ultimately, you risk prolonging the sales cycle. You certainly risk losing the deals altogether. You certainly minimize the kind of deal size potential that you have with clients. And I think if you're working on the retention side of the business, so customer success or account management, you really are jeopardizing your opportunity to retain and upsell your customers as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of risks attached to it for sure.
Right. Makes sense. And then back to the consultative approach, is this something that makes sense regardless of the type of sale? Because of course we've got our, you know, higher average customer value makes sense. So I can see the use case there. Does it make sense to implement this even in a kind of smaller, more transactional sale? Where do you think it fits?
Absolutely. I think, you know, if you think about it, unless you're in the very, very small minority of companies where you're selling something that's completely unique and people can't get anywhere else, and I don't mean by that you offer something that's, you know, the same as another company but you do it better, I mean something that is completely unique and customers can't get anywhere else, the reality is that your customers are going to be, you know, inundated and have a vast amount of choice as to who they want to work with. I think there was an article by Forbes a couple of years ago that I read that stated I think something like 70% of B2B buyers on average are about 70% of the way through their buyer's journey before they want to reach out to sales reps or interact with sales reps. So what that means is by the time they get to speaking to you, in their head, they've already made the decision of what they want, how much they're willing to spend for it. And so what that means is as a sales rep, you're at risk of getting drawn into conversations around pricing very quickly. And benchmarked against your competitors in that way, which is not the ideal kind of conversations that you want to have. So adopting a consultative approach really kind of helps to give a totally different dimension to the conversation. It really kind of helps, I suppose, take a step back from the process and really help your customers analyze what's important to them and show how you are in the best position to help them achieve that, whatever it is, the kind of goal that they're looking to do. And a lot of time that won't come down to price, that will come down to the value that you're offering. Now, if I had to choose two scenarios where I would say being consultative is particularly important, I would say certainly in a situation where you're selling a product that requires a longer term commitment. So obviously subscriptions are a classic example of that. And also with products, you know, a premium product with a particularly high cost attached to it. And the reason for that is that there's a greater degree of risk attached in both of those instances, which requires your buyer to really be very calculated and methodical and informed in the decision they're making. So if we take the example of subscriptions, you know, if you're selling something that's going to lock your client in for the next 2 years, they're going to have to be absolutely convinced and comfortable with the fact that you have the right solution for them. Because if you don't, you know, they can't just walk away and kind of dust their hands of you. They're stuck in for the long term. And obviously, as a sales rep in the subscription world, and Similarweb falls into this bracket as well. For your company to be really profitable, your job is not only just to sell a one-off license on a one-time deal, but really the crucial element to this is retaining, upselling those clients year after year after year. And again, this places a lot more emphasis on, you know, your clients being able to understand and recognize what value you bring to their business. And as you move forward then into that relationship, you know, ultimately your client's business needs and challenges are not going to stay the same. They're going to evolve and change over time. So it means that you constantly have to keep on top of what's happening with your client, continuously reflect back on how your products and services can support their business moving forward. Obviously, COVID is like the best example of that possible. If you think about how businesses have had to pivot because of the current pandemic. And another big element to that, of course, is, you know, the amount of companies that have had to really scale back on the number of external vendors that they're using. And I'm sure that people listening on this call will have been in the same scenario where they're speaking with a client that just has to scale back on the number of you know, product services and vendors that they're using just because they don't necessarily have the capital right now. And so if you're able to be consultative and really kind of add that extra layer into the relationship, it really does make you, you know, it makes you more hard to dispose of than if you're just kind of offering, you know, the same kind of products and services that you're doing. Got a really good example of this actually with one of the clients that we work with, a very large logistics company. And as part of their kind of contract with us, they essentially license me to put together a market intelligence deck for their clients and prospects. So it will be looking at things like market trends, benchmarking online performance against their competitors, keywords, SEO performance, all kinds of things. Basically nothing to do with shipping and logistics or parcels whatsoever. You know, it's completely above and beyond what they normally do as a provider. But obviously for their clients and their prospects, it just adds this really, you know, exciting layer of the relationship. And, you know, when it comes to renewal, if they were to benchmark them against the competitor, you know, maybe the competitor might offer a slightly cheaper price. But would they be able to offer a service like this? You know, probably not. And so it's going to make it more likely that they're going to, you know, ultimately, you know, work with you. So I think that, you know, it really does boil down to trying to make yourself as sticky as possible within the client and, you know, just making yourself less disposable, really.
Very cool. And you have some kind of ideas around not only just this tactical side of the consultative approach that we've been talking about, but kind of the theory that sits underneath it. What are your thoughts there? Like what is the consultative approach down to the kind of neural level?
So firstly, I can't take credit for this myself. I've got an excellent consultancy firm called Viamar to thank for this. We did an event together last year. But I think before I kind of dive into this, I think the reason I kind of wanted to bring this up today is I think that a lot of people on the call understand that consultative selling is important. They'll probably understand some of the aspects of consultative selling. But if you're anything like me, you really want to understand some of the, you know, the foundation behind it. You know, why is it important? Why does it make you a more effective seller? And I think that using the example of behavioral psychology is quite a powerful way of explaining that. So I'm going to start with quite a provocative statement, if I may, Sarah. So I'm going to start by saying that you, myself, everyone listening on the call are all cave people, I'm afraid to say. So I hope I haven't lost too many people on the call by saying that. But I'll kind of go into a little bit what I mean. So we as human beings essentially are governed by two operating systems. We've got what's called our system one brain and our system two brain. So our system two brain, which is otherwise known as our caveman or cave person brain, has really been kind of like the dominant force for, you know, hundreds of thousands of years. And it worked very well in a very static environment where it was hugely effective. It works by essentially generating automatic responses that give us a competitive advantage to survive and thrive. So it very much acts in a non-rational, fast, instinctive, automatic manner. So if you think back to the days where we were living in caves and we were running away from saber-toothed tigers and constantly hunting for food, it was very effective. You know, you don't want to be kind of, if the saber-toothed tiger is running towards you, you don't want to be spending 20 minutes debating what kind of saber-toothed tiger is it, what's the best possible direction to run, you're just going to run. So that's why it was such an effective operating system for us to use. Obviously, the problem is now that the world has very much evolved and we don't live in a world where it's full of automatic response. It requires us to take more of a kind of rational approach to things. And that's really where our system two brain comes in. It's very much the kind of rational, calculated sort of part of the brain, which is far more kind of compatible with 21st century living. The problem is our system two brains typically only develop around the age of 25, and our system one brain fully develops 10 years prior to that. So we're very much kind of system one dominated, which is why I was referring to everyone as case people. So basically, we're working on outdated operating systems. Now, this is hugely effective, or I should say hugely important when we're considering the way that we're selling. So really, when we're selling, if we're trying to sell effectively, it really requires us to engage with our customers' system two brains rather than the system one brain. So, you know, if we're selling, you know, potentially a one-off product, it's very cheap, you know, you don't necessarily have to think about retaining or upselling the client, then kind of interacting with the system one brain can potentially work because the customer can kind of very quickly process what you do, look at the price and say, okay, let's go with it. The vast majority of sales today is a lot more complicated. It's, you know, it's subscription-based. It's, you know, got a lot of products and features that customers have to consider. Obviously, the competition is much larger as well. And so really, you want to be interacting with that more rational part of the brain, more calculated part of the brain, because that's where they're going to be best positioned to make these decisions around more complicated, expensive purchases. And you can only really do that if you're being consultative. You know, that's really the best way to engage with that system two brain. If you're being too transactional, unfortunately, it's going to mean that you're interacting with that system one brain. And that's the portion of the brain that just cannot deal with, you know, big decisions, long-term commitments, expensive commitments. And so that's kind of in a very brief nutshell. And I would definitely encourage listeners to kind of read a little bit more about this. Certainly some of the theory behind why consultative selling is important.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's so funny because evolution obviously built that piece of the brain, the effective, you know, system one brain that was very useful. And then we almost are kind of like adjacent to evolution now, where because people don't die of the things that they would have in the wild, we don't evolve at the same rate. So we're not able to evolve a system one brain in the world that requires it. It's something that's got to be done by each human being. Like, you've got to make that conscious decision to go out there and learn how to use it. So how can people do that? How can people work to engage that side of their brain when their instincts don't want them to use that most of the time?
So being consultative is a skill, ultimately. That's, you know, that's what it boils down to. No one's born consultative. It's something that you learn and develop as you kind of grow into your career. And so with any skill, you know, it can be learned and practiced. And the more that it's practiced, the better it's developed. You know, I would say for salespeople, I would really take the word consultative very literally. But I would actually really think about yourself as consultants for your clients. You know, whenever I speak to the kind of the most effective salespeople, you know, in our team or with other companies that we work with, if I ask them to describe their role, they'll tell me something in the lines of, you know, they see themselves as a trusted advisor who are in possession of a solution that can help solve their clients' pain points or achieve a goal they're aspiring to achieve. Now, of course, the old additives of, you know, being a hunter and closing as many deals is very true as well, and ultimately the name of the game in sales. But I think that they understand crucially that to achieve the latter, you know, closing as many deals as possible, you really need to understand how you can add value to your customers, because if you don't do that, you're really limiting the number of sales that you can make. So I think, you know, one thing that, you know, you can do potentially is your next client meeting, actually pretend that you have been hired by the company as an external consultant to go in and help address a problem that they're having or achieve a goal that they want to achieve. And really kind of put yourself in that mindset of a consultant. You know, what would a consultant do to be effective in their role? They're going to ask a lot of questions. They're going to let the client speak for the vast majority of time. So again, going back to the example before, if you're someone that tends to speak for the vast majority of the conversation, try and scale yourself back to speaking 50% less and getting your client to speak 50% more. You know, challenge yourself to ask as many valuable questions. I wouldn't say ask questions just for the sake of it, you know, questions that are going to help your customer and yourself obviously understand your customer better. But really kind of challenge yourself to see how many questions can you ask before you then have to start talking about your products and services and costs, etc. And see if you can better it then for the next meeting, and kind of, you know, almost make a game of it. I think it's the easiest way to start, you know, changing your mindset and becoming more consultative.
Very cool. And how can leaders of salespeople and sales teams support in encouraging this type of skill?
So I think it comes back to what we were saying before about onboarding. I think it's very, very important to make sure there's a big element of training your sales reps on the markets that they're selling in, the customers that they're selling to, so that they're more confident to go in and have those, you know, have those conversations. The other thing to bear in mind as well is that the more kind of conversations you start having like this, and the more you start to understand your customers, the more you can then transfer that into other meetings. Obviously you still need to do your due diligence with whichever meeting that you're going into, because every business is different, but inevitably there are going to be common threads there between, you know, certain customers. You can utilize that to your advantage. So that's definitely one thing. I would also say, you know, looking at how salespeople are incentivized. A lot of the targets are monthly, quarterly, annually, revenue targets, how many deals can you close, how much revenue you can bring in. Whereas what I've experienced in you know, other companies is actually having behavioral targets as well. So encouraging salespeople to act in a more consultative manner, ask more questions, come back with more information from your client meetings, maybe that you can then present internally to yourself and other team members. Because ultimately salespeople are working on incentives and commissions. So I think if they're not incentivized to act consultatively, I think it's harder to change that mindset. So kind of putting a bigger spotlight on that will definitely help, for sure.
Cool. And SimilarWeb, of course, supports businesses in some way to sell more consultatively. How exactly do you guys do that?
So SimilarWeb, as you were saying before, we're a market intelligence tool. We essentially provide you a unique data set into tens of millions of e-commerce websites and businesses that really kind of help sales reps understand what matters to their prospects and how to engage with them. It comes in the form of a SaaS product and an API offering. So for example, a classic use case that we have with our customers is helping them to understand or capitalize on businesses that are growing, you know, in a cross-border manner. So, you know, if you're selling to businesses that want to expand cross-border fashion, you need to first understand, you know, where they're operating, how successful they are then, and what the opportunities are. Really, really good example of this is another logistics company that we work with. They were telling us that they went to an event, and this is obviously pre-COVID now, so this is going back a couple of years, where they met with a long-standing prospect of theirs, someone that they've been speaking to for a while, and they'd utilized the SimilarWeb platform to actually see that they were getting 10% of their traffic to their website from the USA, but they weren't currently shipping to the USA. So they scheduled a meeting with the client. They basically showed the data and they did a calculation to show if you were to capitalize on this, you know, 10% of traffic that's coming to your website from the US, this is the kind of revenue that you can potentially make. And it completely, completely transformed the conversation. It brought in other stakeholders, because this is the other thing as well about being consultative. It really does help you to kind of climb that ladder in terms of the kind of people that you're speaking to. You know, it helps to kind of open doors to other teams or more senior representatives, because you're really kind of bringing value to the business. And so that exactly was the case for this company. And, you know, they secured a meeting. They're actually using a competitor at the time. And they made the decision to switch, and they were very clear that it was nothing to do with price. I think the competitor was actually slightly cheaper. It was all to do with the data they were bringing, or the insights that they were bringing to that meeting, and actually kind of really showing that they understood the business and where the opportunities were. And it was, you know, for them, like I said, it was completely transformational, and it's a way that they're now utilizing us, you know, in a really good way. Now, obviously, data is all well and good, but I think it's really the insights that you need, and where we try and specialize is actually bringing those insights to our customers, so they can put it into their initial outreach emails. So as we were saying before, it's incredibly difficult now to break through the noise. You know, your prospects will be getting hundreds and hundreds of emails every day with a very similar message, but actually being able to utilize some of this market intelligence data in your outreach emails and pitch decks. Again, if you work in, you know, customer success account management, utilize them in your QBRs. Again, just helps increase win rates, shorten sales cycles, and increase order value as well. So it's been transformational for the businesses that we've worked for sure, particularly now that we're, you know, pivoting much more to an e-commerce reality, which is, you know, ultimately just going to keep growing and growing. That's not going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. It becomes clearer and clearer every day that in order to kind of stand out or differentiate, companies need to use data and be more effective at using data, but not only the data that we have internally, but third-party data as well. There is so much data in the world that you can use now, and it is those companies that are figuring out effective ways to use it and gain those insights and then use them to their advantage that are standing out. So it sounds like you guys are a key player in that space of the kind of like third-party data that you can use to show insights. It's like social proof meets data meets, yeah, data transformation and analytics. Very interesting.
And I'm actually reluctant to use the word data when we're kind of speaking about what we provide at Similarweb, because I think data could essentially just mean, you know, an Excel dump of numbers and statistics that don't really mean anything and can't be actioned. Whereas I think where we try and position ourselves slightly differently is we have all the data in the back end, but we kind of produce it in an easily digestible manner for salespeople, in a very actionable manner as well. So they can, you know, quickly find the insights that they need to have these consultative conversations. And as I said, kind of incorporate them into their pitch decks, into their outreach emails. But I think the insights piece is really the critical bit. It's not just about having massive data, because that just takes time and effort to go through, and you just don't have that as a sales organization. You know, it's really about having those actionable insights that you can work with.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's talk about the business impact then when reps are nailing this consultative approach. What does that look like? What are the benefits?
Really reflecting what we were saying before. So, you know, closing more business, shortening sales cycles, because again, if your clients can understand what the value is to them quicker, and if you're creating an urgency around, you know, what they need, so what their pain point is and how you can help with that, then that's obviously going to speed up the time it will make to close a deal. I think definitely increasing order value, because the more relevant you can make yourself and the, I suppose, almost the bigger you can emphasize the problem and the more that you can position yourself as that kind of company that can help solve that, then you're going to ultimately help make bigger deals, and certainly maintaining longer relationships as well. You know, those examples that I gave before, you know, another example of a company that we work with as well. They've really kind of, on the account management team, they've really made a conscious effort now when they go to their meetings to spend less than 50% of the time actually talking about their products and services, but actually, again, utilizing Similarweb data to talk about market trends, opportunities, what their competitors are doing in the space, which is a really important one. And the results have meant that they're, you know, they've got clients literally knocking down their doors to secure meetings. I think they've almost kind of doubled their meeting rate because the clients see the value in the meetings. It's not just kind of talking about, you know, their vendors' products. It's actually kind of, you know, getting really interesting insights into what's going in the market, what they need to be aware of, where the opportunities and the threats are. But of course, they're going to want to secure more meetings. And then from there, obviously, you can talk about opportunities to work closer together and ultimately kind of retain that sell business. So it really does have multiple upsides. And it's not as complicated as it might seem. I think, as we were saying before, it's a lot of it is just asking the right questions, asking plenty of questions, doing your due diligence, doing research into the company, and really, as we said before, kind of pretending that you are a consultant, literally a consultant, and trying to be as much of an expert in your company, in your prospect business and market as you are in your own products and services. Because I think the other element to it as well is that, certainly from my own experience when I worked in sales and with other sales reps that I've worked with as well, I think you actually ultimately enjoy your role more. I think if you think about it, you know, going into a meeting where you can actually speak on a peer-to-peer level with your customers, not just talking about your products and services, but actually talking to them about market trends, about have you seen what competitor X, Y, and Z is doing? Yeah, really kind of speaking on a peer-to-peer level is not only super powerful, it will help you sell more, et cetera, but actually it's a lot more enjoyable. You feel, you know, it's a much more rewarding process, I think, than just constantly being on a loop talking about what products and services that you do. And it will ultimately help you develop into a better salesperson and enjoy the role a lot more.
Absolutely. Yeah. Those conversations become more conversations rather than you pitching and handling objections and kind of already being on the back foot with the negative trust that a lot of sales interactions start with, just by virtue of kind of the reputation of salespeople or the nature of sales historically. But having that consultative approach, building that trust, equipping yourself with information so that you can actually comfortably be that trusted advisor and then kind of have a conversation, I can absolutely see how, yeah, it makes the world of difference. So thank you so much for giving us that overview, not only of the kind of tactical stuff and how we can actually implement this when we go away into our sales roles, but kind of the theory behind it and why it does make sense from a psychological level. So interesting. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And if anyone wants to find out more about consultative selling or SimilarWeb specifically, please feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn, connect with me. I'd be more than happy to discuss in more detail.
Absolutely. Well, perfect. We will definitely send people those links or point them in the right direction wherever they're viewing, listening, reading the blog or the podcast. So yeah, thank you again so much, Simeon, for joining us on this episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. And thank you to all of you guys for tuning in for another episode. We will catch you next time.